32 years of lessons learned, that is what Jim Posel of Safety Wars has. He has had a front row seat for over 3 decades to the world of workplace safety and health. He's seen the good, the bad, and everything in between. And let me tell you, he's had a wild ride. Now, he's not here to preach or point fingers. Here is some hard-earned practical wisdom he has earned over the years. This isn't about textbooks or regulations, it's about real-world experience, the kind you get from getting your hands dirty in the trenches. So buckle up, grab a wrench, and get ready for Jim Posel's top 10 lessons from 32 years in HSE. Let's do this. Define the dang job. Look, before you even think about safety, you gotta know what you're responsible for. What are your duties? What's your authority? Get it in writing, in black and white, in your employment contract. Can you hire? Can you fire? Can you discipline someone? Can you implement change? Knowing this stuff is crucial. It protects you legally, plain and simple. It's like having the right tool for the job. You can't fix a leaky pipe with a hammer. And hey, if you gotta step outside your lane to help somebody out, do it. But know your boundaries first. It's about covering your backside and doing the right thing. Document and report, no exceptions. Let me tell you something. If someone tells you not to do your job, especially if it involves safety, you document it. Write it down, send an email, whatever it takes, and if it's serious, report it. Especially if it's coming from someone higher up the food chain. Remember, even a written order doesn't absolve you of your responsibilities, and a written one can't be negated by a verbal one. Safety first, always. And if they try to retaliate, well, OSHA's got your back with those whistleblower protections. This ain't about being a snitch. It's about protecting yourself and your coworkers. Documentation is your friend, folks. Remember that. Don't sweat the small stuff. Find the humor. Look, this job can be stressful, no doubt about it. But you gotta find a way to laugh, to not take yourself too seriously. A little humor goes a long way in easing tensions and building relationships. Some people get so wound up, so focused on the rules that they forget to be human. Don't be that guy. Crack a joke, share a laugh. It'll make the tough days a little easier. And when you can laugh at yourself, it makes it a lot harder for others to get under your skin. Now, before you go off on a crusade, ask yourself this. Is this my business? If it's not, walk away. If it is, ask yourself why. Are you the right person to address it? Do you have a constructive approach? Sometimes the best thing you can do is stay out of it. Don't go looking for trouble, it'll find you soon enough. But when it's your time to step up, do it with purpose and a plan. Let's be real clear, if an organization doesn't value human life, they sure as heck won't value worker safety. No matter how hard you try, it's like trying to teach a pig to sing. It's a waste of your time and it annoys the pig. People first, always. That's the bottom line. If a company's not on board with that, you might want to start looking for a new gig. It has been said before, and it bears repeating. If a company's breaking OSHA regulations, chances are they're breaking other employment laws too. It's like a roach motel. You find one, you know there's a whole family hiding nearby. Be thorough, be vigilant. Don't let them get away with cutting corners. OSHA's there for a reason to protect workers. Use it. Kill them with kindness. You know, sometimes non-compliance ain't about malice. It's about wrong training, wrong directions, and being told the wrong thing by so-called experts. People just don't know any better or have perverse incentive structures. That's where you come in. Work with them. They are the experts in their jobs and know how to get the job done. Treat them with respect. You are more likely to have a safer work environment working together. Explain why safety standards are important and work with them to make the workplace safer. Antagonizing rarely works. Shaming, blaming, retraining, pain for pain. None of this works and makes the workplace more unsafe. Whatever you do, do it with respect, with kindness, and understanding. You catch more flies with honey than vinegar, right? Don't come in guns blazing. You'll just put them on the defensive. Be a teacher, a mentor, a colleague, a friend, not a tyrant.
Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity and the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars. Or, what is it? August 1st already. 2023, August 1st. Happy birthday to my brother John, who passed away. Happy birthday in heaven. But more importantly, happy birthday. I shouldn't say more importantly, but happy birthday to my nephew Connor. Big 18 today. Heading on off to college in a few short weeks. How's everybody doing today? Now, a lot of comments. I got phone calls, I got emails, I got texts on last night's show. Apparently I hit some raw nerves out there. Right? And that's good. No, we hit some raw nerves. You're gonna say, well, Jim, you gotta be polite. You gotta be this, you gotta be that. Guess what? We're gonna have to be anything. You know? You know, it's just very, being authentic and being genuine, not very popular nowadays, right? And this is part of what our problem is, I think, out there. I know, I promise you, this is, and I gotta make a little clip here, where this is a, politics-free zone, but I tell you what, I still follow politics. That was a passion of mine for a long time, and what we end up saying here with the with everything is you're being lied to. I don't know how to tell you this, and that's our theme for tonight. You're being lied to by a lot of people, by a lot of sources. It doesn't matter where you're at. With anything, it doesn't really matter at all. What you're doing or any, you're being lied to. That's the thing of the day. And there's incentives out there for people to lie. You know what? I forgot to put the camera on. Hold on. There's a lot of incentives out there for people to lie. And it's just as simple as that. We talk about unsafety all the time. What do we talk about? Where people are afraid of getting yelled at, afraid of getting screamed at, afraid of a whole bunch of stuff out there. So what do? They don't report safety issues. Right? At one facility I know, they said, well, we were doing an... according to our policy here, you have to cooperate with the investigation. That's a term of employment. And then it's also a term, a term of their, with OSHA, the general duty clause. So you have to go out there and you have to, cooperate with everything that's promulgated under that standard, right? It's right under the general duty clause. Next paragraph. So it's not only the employer has to provide a safe and healthful workplace and all that other stuff, general duty clause type stuff. The employer, you as employee, have to comply with things. And that's something we're going to talk about is lying. So I had a little intro. I came on a little bit earlier tonight. I'm just making sure we're on the air here because I had to change something here. We came on the air with a little intro with my 10 things that I learned in 32 years. A little video that I had put together here for us. They're like, why isn't it your voice? Well, we're going to make it my voice very shortly here. So this facility says, well, we'll fire you for lying. That's what we do. You're not cooperating with the investigation. Well, every time that you cooperated with the investigation here, what was it? The employee was at fault 100% of the time. The facility wasn't at fault. And therefore, because the employee is at fault, therefore, the employee is fired. We're thrown off banned from the facility for months and months and months. And you're going to say, well, Jimmy, that was years ago. You haven't been at that facility in years. What makes you convinced that they still do that? Well, I happen to know, because I'm on this network, and I'm not going to name names on this network, that this certain organization did receive human and organizational performance training. Know it for a fact. One, they admitted it to me. Number two, because when I mentioned to him long after I got Adam, we already went over that. We know all of that we had somebody here. And on the Safety FM side, I had someone on Safety FM say, yeah, we provided training to that facility and that company. So I know from both, I'm not being lied to, right? Not being lied to. They got it. So I am on their email list still today, and this was their thing here, their safety thought of the day. I have to share this. I'm not mentioning the company name. Safety is an action word. To make something safe takes action and requires someone to do something. That something is to recognize what can cause an injury and then take steps to prevent it in a manner that ensures nobody gets hurt. That someone is you, right? A safety mindset is about making blame the employee a little bit. What do you think? A safety mindset is about making the time to take care of yourself and those around you. Here are a few tips to help create your own safety mindset. Aware. Pay attention. Stay alert to the possible hazards in your work environment so that you can take steps to correct or guard against them. For example, knowing that there is snow and ice on the ground will help you wear the correct footwear. And be mindful of walking around icy spots. Focus. Concentrate on the tasks at hand. Distractions, boredom, or fatigue can lead to accidents and other safety hazards. Take good care of yourself. Getting plenty of rest and staying alert may prevent accidents. Strong. Have the strength to do the right thing, even when it's easier not to. Follow safety procedures. Remind coworkers of safety precautions. Patience. Take the time to do things correctly every time, like always wearing proper PPE. Oh, by the way, I'll say this, it's not written in here. The least reliable thing that you could do to prevent a safety issue is PPE, especially when you're dressed in protective coveralls and it's 100 degrees out in an area that's about 115 degrees, right? It's 100 degrees out, ambient temperature, and it's about 115, 120 degrees in there. And another thing, and let's remember that the pain threshold is 137 degrees, give or take, for the average person, right? But, you got to wear that PPE. You want to get the job done? You want to do this? There's a lot of shit that you could do before you put on PPE. I'm not saying to wear PPE, but there's a lot of stuff you could do. Be aware of your surroundings, even if you need to take a moment to assess the setting. There are no shortcuts to safety. Responsible. Take responsibility for a safe environment. If you see something out of place, pick it up or alert someone who can help. Someone may fall on that item and become injured if you don't. You can never assume that someone else will take action. Let it be you. Think. Stop to think before you act. Accidents are not the result of bad luck. Really? Okay. Nothing about randomness. Nothing about trends. Nothing about the SKR work modes that we talk about in human organizational performance, that skills mode that you're trying to get to, and the rules mode, and the lack of knowledge or the knowledge, nothing in there. That doesn't come into play, right? Not at all. They occur when someone decides, consciously or not, to take a chance. Be smart and avoid taking unnecessary risks. Take the time to thoughtfully ensure that everyone is safely in its place and conditions are safe for your activity before you begin. Really? Okay, now let's take this up. At this facility, in all fairness, this was written many years ago, right? Written many, many years ago. What's missing on here? My question, a couple of things. When there is an accident, I figure out what work mode we're in. I figure out what controls there are. I try to figure out everything. They say, there is a root cause and there's one root cause and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? You just fouled this up. I'm not going to get a good bonus this year because you people don't work safe. And it's because you do not have a safety mindset. Right? By the way, they're not the only facility. They're not the only guilty ones. They're just admitting it. They're admitting it, right? So, hold on here. Now, this is all that goes in here. So, okay, what about, how did that contract, how was that contract bid? Let's start out number one. Is that contractor qualified to do the work? Are they BSing to the actual third-party assessment service that's assessing safety plans where you have to go in and ask questions? There's three main ones in the oil industry that they use in energy sector, I should say, for that. Okay, right budget. Are the people qualified that you have in charge? Is the oversight person qualified for this, for supervising and managing this? Okay. What's the condition of the where you're working? Right. And I mentioned this here. Is it all gouvernoed up from the person that was there before you? Is there a housekeeping issue? Is facilities under a permit system. Is that permit relevant to what's going on the job? Is the job hazard analysis that you're required to write every day, is that relevant to the job? And who's checking that? Right? Because that's the way it is. When they go to get the permits in the morning, are there 30 people online and do they have the correct amount of time to do the job? And if the job is budgeted for 8 hours, right? And you got to get it done in or 8 hours, and they spend 2 hours getting the work permits, is that being done, right? That impacts safety, right? Definitely impacts it because now you're in a rush. Now you're encouraged to take corners, to cut corners. Does your facility rely on the bottom of that safety triangle, where administrative controls and PPE, which are the least reliable things to be on? Is that competent person that's supposed to be working in construction and you're supposed to have a competent person or a pick person in charge, is that person inspecting all the equipment and ensuring that they have the right equipment, inspecting it? Is it appropriate? Don't know. But it all starts in the bid. Now, who did the bid? Did the person who did the bid, did they actually go and know what's going on the job? Have they bid that kind of job before? Have they done that type of work before? Because I've been on jobs where they come out and they're like, they get this person to do the bid and they're like, oh, guess what? With the bid, you know, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And then what happens is, we're not going to worry about fall protection. They don't enforce fall protection. I don't know. No, fall protection. Give them a harness and give them a lanyard. Screw it. And then they're 7 foot off the ground working with a $40 shock-absorbing lanyard that needs 18 and a half or 19 foot, depending on calculations of free-fall distance. Are you hiring someone like that? Was that the way it was bid out? And you're saying, oh, well, that was bid out. They're a cheap bidder. Now they're out there. Now you have a problem. How's that the employee's fault? Is it the guy, person, usually a man, works for someone, right? Only a man would do stuff like that. That's what I'm saying, right? Ignore laws. All right. Now, do they have the appropriate training? On paper, they have the appropriate training. But I'm dealing with somebody. I was dealing with somebody today, right, at one of my job audits that didn't know any. And this was in New York State, right? And this was a there was public money involved, which means that they had to have 30-hour training or 10-hour training that didn't know six. And he had the card. What, 6 foot or higher? Since when are they doing that? For fall protection, 1998? And then to add insult to injury, he brought out a safety belt for fall protection, which is illegal. This stuff happens. What else can we deal with? All right. Do they have the resources? Do they have... the person in charge, the authority. Does the person have the authority to do the job, to do the job safely? All of this goes into that. Now, when things go wrong, how does the facility react? Things went wrong at this facility, near miss, got reported like we were told to report it, right? We go and report the near miss, the company comes out, and they come out screaming, yelling, and cursing. Destroy the safety program. Person's initials are TD. Right, like the bank. Right? Anyone from that facility should know that, who that is. Right? Screaming and yelling and cursing and MFing you. Right? This is what happens with all of this stuff. Oh, well, Jim, you're bitter. No, I'm not bitter. I'm just saying I'm frustrated. I am frustrated, and you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm frustrated that a facility who's gotten the hop stuff hasn't implemented any of it. If you know you're going to get screamed at, yelled at, cursed at, have your hours cut, and all the other stuff all the other stuff that goes along with reporting safety issues. By the way, you can get Federal Whistleblower Act protection from that if you report it and they discipline you. And all that other stuff that goes along with it, why would anybody report anything? And when you have this safety thought of the day coming out, blaming the employee, well, what about all the other people involved here? I think Todd Conklin does a phenomenal job with the Jenga pyramid. I don't know if he came out with that or not, with the Jenga, right? Where you take one piece from the bottom and you put it on the top and then it eventually flips over. Well, what caused the accident? Was it the person who goes from the bottom to the top and then it falls over? Is it that person, last person? Or did it start with the first person? Which one was it? I heard another model yesterday that is probably... No offense, Todd and Jay and everybody else there on the network. That for me, it rings a little bit better, but it makes a mess. You don't, pardon me. You don't want to do this, right? Especially in a classroom where you have grains of sand, like an hourglass, and you dump those grains of sand, and eventually you have a hill, and eventually you have an avalanche. So what grain of sand was the cause of the accident? A lot of stuff goes on with that. And this is just, you know, what it is. So We just do intro to hop. Give us a call, 845-269-5772. We can line you up with some training and everything else out there for human and organizational performance, as well as many, many other things. Now, I got into some other business here. So basically what it is, right, they're saying this is a nice and positive thing, blah, 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 blah. And they're lying to you. This facility is lying to you. Now, we got into it with something else online with the, people are still finding out about the program. Jim, you mean that there are people out there that buy safety certifications, like the 30-hour course, 10-hour outreach courses, and they do it for, they just write them out? So yes, they do. A lot of fraud in there, and I sent them, they didn't believe me, I sent them the story from a couple months ago out on Long Island, 20,000 cards estimated the guy gave out, the company. I don't know what the final disposition is, but he got convicted, I believe. If he didn't get convicted, he probably will get convicted on that one if they have ample proof. Allegedly, he did that, all right, alleged. Now, here's the other one. If you're here for the pre-show with the things that we learned, is document everything. One of my family members negotiates at a very high level, always has, for many years in her career. She negotiates. People lie to her every day. And like I say, yes, you know, like the safety industry, if you don't want to get lied to, don't go into the safety industry. And by the way, with what I just read here, that leads to lying, right? Believe me, it leads to lying. And if you lie, if you have people and the incentive is to lie, you don't get the information that you need and everything else, and you go kaplooey. That's the other part. Now, everything gets documented with her. I said, do you ever pick up the phone? No, I don't. How about Zoom? Well, with the Zoom meetings, I have multiple witnesses. This is when I'm negotiating with people. I renegotiate through email. I negotiate with witnesses. And everything basically on Zoom. She didn't say it like that, but that's basically it. There's a record for everything. And this is one technique, not always the best, that you could use to mitigate a lot of the lies out there and everything. Now, with me, what I do is whenever I'm asked to do something, there's always a photo involved. So, for example, one of the projects that we manage, people I have to sign out by the end of the day. And I said, you know, this is really ineffective, right? You should have access control or something else to ask people to sign their name at the end of the day that they left. No, eventually someone's going to foul up. Well, a couple of weeks ago, last week, someone fouled up, and now they're really cracking down on this. So, Jim, right, it's your company's job to make sure that everybody signs in at the end of the day. So what do you think I do? Any guess? End of the day, I'm the last one out. If I'm there, if one of my workers is there, they're the last one out. We take a picture of that sign, and she's showing that everybody's signed in and everybody's signed out. And throughout the day, if we're in the neighborhood, we do that also. That's what we do. That's how we manage that. Why? Because this facility is similar to the facility I just described for the last half an hour. Right? How do you think that one day that sign-in, sign-out sheet's going to get lost? And it's going to be, well, you guys didn't sign in or sign out, blah, 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 blah. And I know that that's what's going to happen, because that's what always happens on these jobs. Right? So everything's on there. And the other thing is this. Make sure that you lock the door behind you. I don't like to lock door. Everyone knows I lose keys, right? That's one of my things. Biggest joke around is Jimmy loses keys. That's why everything has a tile tracker on them. I'm not giving them a plug. Everything has a tracker on it. So what do you think I do? I shut the door and I take a picture or a movie of the door being locked, of the front gate being locked. Everything's documented. Why? Because if someone goes and cuts that lock, or someone goes in behind us and opens it up and doesn't lock it, we're the last documented person on the way out. How are you going to prove it? There's not an incentive to prove it because at this facility, the incentive is to lie. Well, it is. So, no, I don't like this big brother in the surveillance state, but this is unfortunately when you have a management structure that that sets up an incentive for people to lie. This is unfortunately the way it has to be mitigated. Is documentation and nobody trusts each other. And believe me, that's what we also call a toxic work environment. Now, the other thing is that we talked about Saul Alinsky last night. And now, when you're dealing with people, it's not what your authority is, but what authority they think they have. And let me comment on that real quick. The authority that they think you have, you think they have, and everything else, you want to hold your cards close to you sometimes because, but the other thing is this. Do you have an accurate assessment of what kind of authority that person has? That's the main point. How do you know? Especially if you're a consultant working on many different projects. The regular workers there, they see you as a consultant come in, whatever your allotted time is, and you leave. How do they know who you are, what you do on the outside, who you know in their organization? Because if you're a consultant, you're probably not being hired by the site manager. You're probably being hired by someone a lot higher in the company, the way it is with that. So, and when the Gouverneau hits the fan, guess what? That documentation counts every time. I'm going to go to commercial break, and then we're going to pull up some OSHA news here, and we're going to do that.
You are listening to Safety Wars. Tomorrow's safety today.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Polzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
Yes, Jessica, I am your father. I got this a little bit discombobulated here. Let me get this. All right. So I got a complaint last night that the people at home cannot see what's on the screen. So I promised
I would. Make this a little bit more visible and make myself smaller and everything else here. I'm going to just try to do this on audio and see this. No, so if you're on the streamer, you'll see the big screen there. You'll be able to see everything. So, boom, boom, boom. Okay. All right. All right, here we go. The U.S. Department of Labor obtains judgment ordering North Jersey construction companies and owners to pay $600K in wages and damages to 131 workers. And I'm going to say this again. Everyone's innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Everything gets negotiated, appealed, litigated, and everything else downwards. So this is what's today. What's tomorrow? Maybe something different with settlements and everything else. So, and it's not our policy to name names. And if we do, it's a is inadvertent. And everything is alleged. Everyone's innocent until proven guilty here. The U.S. Department of Labor has obtained a federal court order that requires two New Jersey construction owners and their companies and managers to pay $600,000 in back wages and liquidated damages to 131 former employees after a federal investigation found employers engaged in an illegal bonus pay scheme. Blah, blah, blah. So they had a thing, right? So the division found that masonry and concrete contractors and another company, the company's owners and operators, I think I might know these people, engaged in illegal pay practices. Specifically, the division found that in addition to weekly check for 40 hours worth, the Newark-based employers paid employees with a second bonus check for overtime hours at the regular rate of pay rather than the overtime rate of 1.5 times the regular rate as required by law. They also discovered the employers tried to hide the scheme by not keeping adequate and accurate records of daily and weekly hours worked. These actions violated the Fair Labor Standards Act. Right? So they over, blah, blah, blah. Right, I'm not going to say this because it'll identify them. The U.S. Department of Labor will use every means available and necessary, including this is over the course of years, apparently. And addition to employers to pay back wages and liquidated damages, the court forbid them from future FLSA violations, retaliation against their employees, directly or indirectly, or seeking or accepting any of the back wages or liquidated damages paid to employees. Any company that the individual defendants own or operate will also be bound by these provisions, and they have to go and do mea culpas, basically, with their employees and issue distribute flyers and fact sheets. And, you know, it's a really big thing here. Let's see if we have some more information here. There is a consent to judgment link on here. People at home definitely can't see that. And just legalese here. Right, and let's see, we're going all the way down here, and boom, boom, boom. So here's what it comes down to. We had a conversation about this at the safety meeting today because this came up on one of the other projects that somebody in the room was involved in, not the project we're involved in, but with another employer here. And I said, well, normally the liquidated, no, because they know I do this program and some of them listen to it. So here it is, ordered that defendants and all, no, that I said, they pay usually what the, money that they owe you plus liquidated damages, right? So it's double, right? So it's, they ordered a payment of $300,000 in unpaid overtime back wages to the defendant's current and former employees listed in Exhibit A. Further, defendants shall pay a total of $300,000 in liquidated damages to defendants' employees in the amounts listed in Exhibit A, plus $3,402.70 in post-judgments. They got them for interest, right? And then it details on there. And going on and on and on. Again, this is all on the public record here. Jim, where are you getting this stuff? It's all on the public record, folks. So, and they have a payment schedule attached. So, what's my point here with everything? Don't break the law. Here's another one. U.S. Department of Labor, I had a conversation with another client on this year. Misclassification of back wages. U.S. Department of Labor recovers $150,000 in back wages and damages for 37 misclassified Amarillo maintenance parts runners denied overtime pay. So here is another one. $75,000 and $75,000 in liquidated damages for 37 employees for being pay wage. So what does it come down to is this, right? A lot of companies do not like to pay. They like to pay people as either salaried workers or under the table, as we say in the United States, where, you know, things are going out, or, you know, the Jersey City mayor used to have a drawer in the desk. This was the ultimate under the table thing. This is why Brett Shundler won your Jersey City mayor back in the day, because he was the only one not convicted of anything, and they were all on trial or legal issues. So they actually had a drawer in the desk. So the person who was two drawers. So the person who was making the payoff would make the payoff from one side of the desk, and the mayor would go in from the other side of the desk and get the money or whatever, the goods here. So, but anyway, under the table. So what happens is when you pay people under the table, and that's people's business models, they're not covered by OSHA. Big thing. They're also not covered. Now, I'm saying not covered. I'm just saying the employer's mind, they're not, because they still are, right? And they're also, you don't have to report. You don't have to report workers' comp. So you avoid paying workers' comp. You avoid paying taxes. You avoid paying health care. You avoid paying, and the thing is, they classify them as independent contractors. What ends up happening is when they're paid as independent contractors, OSHA does not apply, because now you're a business owner. You're regulated as a business owner. So this is what companies do. And then something bad happens, right? Something bad happens, and then OSHA, they go in and they say, they go into the emergency room, because of course that's where they go. It's the emergency room, that's where people, if you don't know how to manage an accident, you go to the emergency room. Where did this accident take place? It took place at work. Who do you work for? Company ABC. Okay, well, that company ABC, now there's a workers' comp thing with them. They call you up, and it's a big mess and everything else. Does that guy work for you? No, he doesn't work for me. He's an independent contractor. He's covered under his own insurance. Oh, well, are we going to treat the person, or are we not going to treat the person? If we're not going to get paid, I'm sorry. My experience, you're not going to get paid. Hospitals often do the minimum amount possible just to get by. My brother John, who his birthday today, he would have been 64. He had an insurance mix-up when he was very sick. They left him in the freaking hallway with a heart problem for 4 days. They didn't even give him a room. Well, it is. Luckily, Deborah Hospital down in South Jersey, I will give them a plug, said don't go to that hospital. Go to Deborah Hospital unless it's a really urgent situation, and we'll take care of you. And they took care of everything. The whole thing. But anyway, you know, and then this is what happened. And then it's a big mess. And then you get whacked with insurance fraud possibilities. Not a good thing here. All right. Going on. Again, a lot of people not, I think we talked about that in Boise Airport. I don't think that was last night. And I was just scrolling through. Here we have August 1st. Department of Labor investigation of trench fatality leads finds El Paso contractor repeatedly willfully failed to follow safety measures. Again, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. Department of Labor investigation of trench fatality finds El Paso contractor repeatedly willfully failed to follow federal safety measures. $260,000. Let's go and here. Hold on, let me. Let's go to commercial break while I get this straightened out here. I will be using the other thing here. And
hey there, safety professionals. Welcome to another episode of Safety Wars on Safety FM, hosted by Jim Posel. And today we're diving into what it really means to be on the front lines of the safety war. So, let's start with the basics. Safety is not just a set of rules or regulations. It's a culture, a mindset, a way of life. When we talk about safety, we're not just protecting workers from harm. We're building an environment where everyone can thrive. It's about going home safe and sound to our families every single day. Now, I know it sounds like a heavy responsibility, but that's why we're here. To make sure everyone understands the importance of safety and knows how to implement it effectively. Whether you're a seasoned safety professional or just starting out, there's always something new to learn. Let's talk about some key strategies. First up, communication. It's critical to ensure that everyone on the team is on the same page. Regular safety meetings, clear signage, and open dialogue can prevent a lot of accidents before they even happen. Next, let's focus on training. Proper training equips your team with the knowledge and skills they need to stay safe. Remember, it's not just about ticking a box. It's about making sure every worker understands the why behind each safety protocol. This understanding fosters a culture of safety where everyone looks out for one another. Of course, we can't forget about technology. From wearable safety devices to advanced monitoring systems, technology is revolutionizing how we approach safety. Embrace it. Use these tools to enhance your safety programs and keep your team protected. But let's not get too comfortable. Safety is an ongoing battle. New risks and challenges emerge all the time. Stay vigilant, stay informed, and never stop striving for a safer workplace. So, what's the takeaway? Safety is everyone's responsibility. It's about creating a culture where safety is ingrained in everything we do. As safety professionals, it's our job to lead by example and inspire our teams to commit to a safer future. Thanks for tuning into Safety Wars on Safety FM. Stay safe out there, and remember, every day is a new opportunity to make a difference. Catch you on the next episode.
All right, we're back, right? So we have a lot of stuff going on here, you know? I'm making sure I am up and running on all of the platforms here. Now, very frustrating here now with everything, right? Yeah, they're saying that we're all up and running. We're all streaming tonight and where we're supposed to be. That's, I'll take that victory, right? I feel like I won an Olympic gold medal here doing this. Department of Labor investigation of trench fatality, right? And hopefully everybody can see this. An El Paso contractor could have prevented a 37-year-old employee from suffering fatal injuries in February 2024 by following federally required safety standards. And that the employer has cited this company. The Department of Labor has cited the employer six times since 15 for like the same thing according to this. All right, we'll see once we get into it. It's available. The department's OSHA determined a pipe layer for a company was allowed to work in an excavation without a proper protective system. The trench collapsed, causing a piece of asphalt to fall, severely injured the worker, who later died in an area hospital. The city of El Paso had contracted the company for pipe work for the Cedar Grove Waterline Replacement Project, part of an ongoing citywide initiative. Despite repeated citations, my question is this. Let's talk about this. Go back to the beginning. When you are sending out bids, RFPs, requests for proposals. By the way, proposal, great word, right? When you're sending, you can think about it. When you're sending out RFPs and you get bids, why wouldn't you go to the OSHA website for the establishment search and see what the person's history is or the company's history is? Why wouldn't you do that? Why? I'll explain it to you. Because sovereign immunity. These people are not responsible for anything who pay for this. This is what this is. This is a thing, and there are laws in place that say, well, you have to take these people. Now, being a safety professional, when I am dealing with a company, right, I'm being hired by general contractors. Oh, well, Jim, we have this company, this company, this company, and this company. What do you think I do? I go to the establishment search, and I look up those companies. Oh, they have this problem, this problem, this problem. Or, hey, they've never had a problem with OSHA. That doesn't mean that they were involved in litigation or something else. However, we know that. Or do we have access to the third party, assessment systems to determine what's going on with that company? Why? Because I'm trying to figure out, is that a company I need to really focus on? Really, Jim? Yeah, it's called being a safety professional, guys. And this is how you work. Are they a safe company? Do they know what they are doing? I don't know. Something to think about. Despite repeated citations and warnings about the dangers of unprotected blah, 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 ignored the hazards for nearly a decade, and now an employee has lost their life, explained OSHA Area Director Diego Alvarado Jr. in El Paso. Rather than protecting its workers from this workplace hazard, the company did nothing to prevent this tragedy and leaves the family, friends, and coworkers to grief. The company faces $260,000, $848,000. So, right, real tough talk here from OSHA, right? Horrible situation, very tough. Everybody's sorry and everything. And I tell you what, I hear it all the time in these things. Right? Oh, everybody loved the worker. Everybody, great guy. Well, you didn't love him enough to prevent the injury. You didn't love him enough to put things in place. You didn't love him enough or care enough about your employees to do the right thing by him. Possibly, this might have truly been an accident. Right? But on the other hand, oh, no. I'm not saying I don't know what they did. However, this is normally what I hear. Right? You know, with that. Don't know if these people did that. I have no idea, but I'm just saying. Now, this is the kind of stuff that I hear all the time on these major accidents. All right. So here we go. Let me make sure we can see this, or is it? Right. Okay. Again, I'm trying to make it easy for the viewer here. And we're scrolling down our regular stuff here. So, 10. So here we go. 10 years of not doing the right thing. They've been cited before, according to this news press release. So let's see. They got $260,000 in proposed penalties here. This is from the excavation, trenching excavation regulations here. 29 CFR 1926 651. I just had a brain fluctuation there. Right. Sidewalks, pavements, or aperture appurtenant structures had been undermined and support system or another method was not provided to protect employees from possible collapse. On or about February 6, 2024, on the south side, southeast side of a trench, employees install water lines in a trench where the pavement, road, sidewalk, light poles, etc. had been undermined, not supported. $12,421, not the maximum. Citation to item one, type of violation, willful, serious. Each employee in an excavation was not protected from cave-ins by an adequate protective system designed in accordance with B or C of this subsection. On or about February 6, 2024, on the southeast side of a trench, employees were working inside a trench without adequate cave-in protection while installing new water lines. The company was previously cited for a violation of this occupational safety and health standard, which was contained in OSHA inspection number, blah, 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 blah. Then it mentions it back in 2023. And they were previously cited for a violation of this back in 2023 again, blah, 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 with this. $124,219. Citation 3, item 1, type of violation, repeat serious, is $62,104. No safe means of egress, right? You got to have a ladder or something within 25 feet. And citation 3, item 2, a repeat, $62,104. Employees are not protected from excavated or other materials or equipment. I can pose a hazard by falling or rolling into the excavations. Now, here's the other thing, right? Now, Jim, you're being a little bit rough on them. I don't know if it's the same managers. I don't know if it's the same owner. So they may not. Now, if you're an owner and you're buying a company, perhaps you want to go on the establishment search and find out what's going on. Maybe you want to notify your employees. Hey, 10 years ago or 5 years ago or whenever, we had a situation where this happened. And guess what? If they come again on the hit parade, OSHA, we're really going to get whacked here. By the way, we're coming up with some resources to help situations like that. Stay tuned. I tell you what. Yes, I am frustrated. It sounds like, yeah, Jim, you came out of a man on fire today. Yeah, today I have. But, no, the level of education and everything that employers do not give employees, and a lot of times the employers don't know themselves, is very frustrating. One, because we provide it at a reasonable rate for everybody. Right, you can afford this. You have YouTube videos. You have videos on Vimeo, which I use for a lot of my clients. They want a video. Okay, I'll do a video for you. It's on Vimeo. We have stuff on Rumble. We have stuff on Brighteon. We have stuff on Odyssey when we get a chance to post it there. We have it on Facebook, 3 channels. We have it on LinkedIn. We have it on X. And if you're the great Jay Allen, you have it on many, many things on the Rated R Safety Show, right? So you can tune it. There's multiple. We have like 18 podcasters here on the Safety FM. I didn't count them up. We have all these resources available. YouTube, many different resources. Independent study thing on FEMA, from FEMA. They have an independent study program. All different types of education. Free resources or for a very nominal charge. And of course, you have the OSHA.gov website and the CDC.gov/NIOSH website. Multiple things, right? People aren't interested in it. Employees are, but here's the other thing. I don't know what full employment is right there. How many, here, I'll Google it. How many people? How many people are employed in the U.S.? Right? $326.7 million. $326.7 million people in the country, how many people are employed here. Okay. It is, blah, blah, blah. Come on, I just want to know the U.S. employment rate. Right now, out of those 326 million people, you have over around 64% employed right now, 16 years old or older. Let's remember, that's a lot of people at work. OSHA is here to regulate the workplace. Right? Does that make sense? So these regulations impact you every time you go to work. Wouldn't it make sense? You would think that people might be interested in, hey, if these regulations apply to me and my employer, maybe I should learn about it. Maybe I should learn about safety. Because again, let's bring this totally around in a circle. What's the incentive? If you have an underfunded agency and you know that most of the time people aren't going to get hurt because they are able to mitigate hazards in their own workplace, right? Because unless you're like some people I deal with, you don't want to get hurt. And all that other controls that we put in, right? The incentive is for the employer to not do the right thing. And there's a lot of employers out there who don't do the right thing. Most do, thankfully, right? Because we only have 5,000 reported fatalities a year and something like 2.8 million workplace injuries. But according to OSHA, we have 50,000 people dead from workplace industrial hygiene exposures every year that are very difficult to track. And those are the things that, right, will eventually kill you. But, you know, one thing employers think is, well, it's not a problem because it's not my problem. I don't have to mitigate that. But again, what's my point? It's in your interest for this. I hear all the time, one of my clients said, well, we're going to have all of our online, all of our site orientations done through an app. Great idea, because you're not dealing with 5,000 pages, literally 5,000 pages in paperwork, right? That I have to hire my cousin Dave to manage, right? Well, that's what his summer internship was. 1 year. Hey, here, straighten this out. But, so what happens? We do not know how to operate the app. So therefore, you don't have to give us training. Yeah, that's what I hear. We don't have to do the training because we don't know how to app. And then 5 minutes later, they're on their smartphone or iPad or computer and everything else. What are they doing? Looking at, we'll just say, not safe for work stuff. They know how to access that, but they can't access the app. They know how to access their gambling app. They can't do that. They know how YouTube, blah, blah, blah. And very frustrating. So we're going to wrap it up, right? And we're going to... boom, boom, boom. We're going to go and where's our outro? We're going to do our outro, and I will, I'll try to be on the air tomorrow. Can't make any guarantees here, but we'll do it, man. We'll do what we can here. So video share, add to stream, and good night, everybody. Wrong button.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.